You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around your world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. And I'm delighted to welcome Paul and Joe Volta, or is it Joe and Paul Volta? I'm living in politically correct times from the band The Sign, the fantastic band The Sign, and go to thesign.com. We'll talk about that more later. And they're joining me from the beautiful island of Tasmania. Welcome, guys. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. It has. Thank you for having us once more. I am the older one, so it's Paul and Joe.
Okay. I thank God I got that correct, or I didn't really. I was just being politically correct. We're going to talk about, interesting, we haven't talked since COVID was really going through the roof last time we talked. But you guys are in the process of finishing animated video. Now, this is interesting because we were talking about that back then.
Yeah.
Now you've got a couple of, you've got a new single, I Got Lost, and also you've got another single called Sinners, and we'll play one of those at the end of the show. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and I just wanted to ask you, actually, Joe, what is hunting plants? Because I know you've been hunting plants, and I'm wondering, people go out and hunt deer. what's going on with that?
Well, that they grow on pretty big and carnivorous down here, Henry.
Uh-huh. What do you do? Do you actually go into the wild and, or you get them from a shop?
I was supposed to go to the Agrarian Kitchen seedling sale. That it's quite a well-known gourmet restaurant up here, mm-hmm. Run by a chef from Sydney and his wife. And they have a garden that they, you know, they source all their own plants and, you know, food for the restaurant from their own garden that they grow. Mm. And they used to run a weekend, so you could go and stay with them weekend and go and forage for your own food and then cook. They'd show you how to cook it.
Right.
And so that's why I was supposed to be going to. I was going to go and hunt plants in their garden.
Yeah.
And then I just went. Oh,
too hard. You were up late last night as well.
Yeah, I was late, and I thought, oh, I woke up and thought, I want to go hunt plants with a whole heap of other people who have the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been still avoiding, I don't like to be in big crowds.
No, me neither.
And so there's quite a few people out and about.
Especially on Saturday.
Yeah, look, the weather's fairly pleasant, and there's a lot of that COVID around at the moment here.
Yes, and there's warnings for Christmas as well.
Yeah, you know, look, we've already got our explosion happening here, so sort of already locked down a few places up north, the old people's homes. Mm. So I just sort of not overly.
Maybe not.
Yeah, no, maybe not. And I thought about it and I thought, no, there's going to be a whole heap of elderly people, people like me in between looking for plants and we're all breathing on one. I just said, yeah.
Too hard basket.
Yeah, so I went and bought alcohol instead.
Oh, God, I like your plan. I like your style. That's fantastic. Right, I just want to let her, talking of all things au naturel, my girlfriend's making butter for the first time in the background. How about that?
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I've never done it before. It's very exciting. Okay, now what's also exciting is that you are in the process of finishing a new animated video for your new single, I Got Lost.
Yep.
And Sinners. Now, this started a long time ago. And Paul, you do the animation, or do you both do it?
No, Paulie doesn't.
No, just me. Yeah, I'm the masochist.
Okay, and is that hard work?
Yeah, it's really hard. I've been working on this. I think it's going on a month now.
And so how do you put this obviously on the web?
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, let listeners know where they can find you guys. Obviously, we've got thesign.com, thesign.com. And a plethora of other platforms on the web that people can find you guys.
Yep. All our links are on our website, but YouTube, if you want to watch our videos, it's We Are The Sign.
Oh, I see. Okay, you have mentioned that before. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be looking forward to that, and we'll play, what song do you want to play at the end of this?
I got lost.
Yeah, I got lost.
I got lost. Okay. Yeah. Sounds like an interesting theme for a song. Did you find yourself? Let's talk a bit about Australian politics. I mean, of course, you know, politics is no longer local really anymore. It's kind of global, isn't it? The governments of Australia, here in Australia, both state and federal, you mentioned, Joe, you know, are taking the plight of people seriously. Did you mean they're not or they are?
I don't think they are.
Okay, you said they are, but that's okay. It was late at night. They're not taking the plight. And of course they're not. I mean, really, you know, this is all politics, isn't it?
Well, it's all guff. I mean, if they were taking it seriously, they would be assessing how much profit the actual overseas supermarkets and interests are taking out of the country and why it's so expensive for us to buy fuel here. The fact that we're still dependent on overseas interests is ridiculous.
Well, can I just mention that I've talked to our Canberra correspondent, and Canberra is the capital of Australia, dear listener, and it's also where he resides. And he said that, you know, we're getting our oil from Singapore. So why are they making excuses about wars in Ukraine, the Gaza Strip? Is that what's happening? I mean, you know, are we getting that? He says we're getting our oil from Singapore.
Yeah, but if it depends on the American dollar, our dollar is at 63 cents now. So
what is it normally?
If fuel is costing just, you know, I'll throw out a number, $10 or $100 a barrel U.S., it's now costing us nearly $200.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's OPEC. I think it's the deal that we struck that we shouldn't have struck all those years ago, Henry.
Oh, right. OPEC. Gosh, I've known that term for a long time.
We're kind of locked into a oil dollar market, which is what Gough Whitlam tried to fight against. He sort of went, he said, no, we don't want to do that.
Oh, the best prime minister ever in Australia.
Yeah, we'll just enter into a deal with the Arabs and we'll be fine. And then everyone went, oh, no, you can't do that. We've got to be in OPEC. We have to do this, because he was very unkeen to have fuel for Australia, because we're such a big country and there's so much distance between cities. It's not like America where states are side by side.
Yes.
You know, we've got those hundreds and hundreds or thousands of miles to travel. So when fuel does this, I mean, point in question, my tea went up by $3 a box.
Yes, and we've experienced that too.
Why did my Dilmah go up by $3 a box? It actually had gone from $10 a box to $12.90 a box to now $15.50 a box.
But isn't this gouging on the excuse of international instability?
Oh, absolutely. If you said, look, I could show you our supermarket bills, and I can show you the increases in the last, since COVID, in the last 3 years. This year's just been insane.
Yeah, it's almost like people are making excuses. And you mentioned in your prepping for this supermarket profiteering, and there's no doubt about it. And just for our international audience, we've got Coles and Woolworths. And we've got a third player now, Aldi, and Aldi are kicking ass over the two big players who have ripped us off for decades. And now they're frightened because Aldi is really popular, especially in small towns around Australia. But these big supermarkets are also gouging, aren't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, they sell petrol as well.
And they're having record profits.
I know. It's embarrassing. I mean, they must think we're all stupid, you know,
they've got us by the short.
We got no choice, right?
Yeah.
I thought we lived in a democracy. Oh, how naive of me.
Oh, yeah. It's a facade, Henry. It's a facade.
Yeah, I guess
it's such a nice facade. I mean, look, this was the workers' paradise of the world, because the wages are great. I mean, I've got a grandson who's earning $30 an hour.
Yeah. That's good money too, isn't it?
Yeah, bussing tables.
It seems like it's good money, but when you compare it to things like you know, if again on the American dollar, if you're making $15 an hour and a car costs $10,000, and we're making $30 an hour and a car costs $30,000,
yeah, it's all relative, isn't it?
It's the same, isn't it?
Yeah,
it sounds like a lot of money. Let's go to Italy and like you're making 50 million lira a year. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, that's only $10.
I know, yeah. So. But it's interesting. You know, I keep seeing on television the caption on commercial networks like 9, 10, and 7 here in Australia. You put the caption of post COVID, which is completely wrong and irresponsible.
That's bollocks.
How they do that, why they do it, it annoys the hell out of me as a journalist to watch this on television post-COVID, my ass. It's never gone away. Everything's very surreal at the moment, folks. Who I haven't heard about for ages? Julian Assange.
I know.
WikiLeaks, and you mentioned again in your prepping for this interview, Joe, what is going on with this? This is also extremely political.
Well, he's been offered asylum in Italy.
Really?
They've offered him citizenship.
Wow. Will this be a game changer?
Well, it could be. I was just hoping that Albanese meeting with Biden, DOJ just sort of like, oh, look, he served his time. Wasn't really a crime in true sense. And is he an American citizen to be tried for treason or sedition, which is what they want to do?
For telling the truth.
Why should he be shipped back there? You want him to go to jail, put him back to Australia and let him go under house arrest. You know, it's just sort of, it seems for journalists of the world, I think it's a terrible travesty. And yes, it is political, and I don't, you know, Biden's saying he doesn't interfere with the DOJ, Department of Justice in America. He can't, as the president, he should, you know, there's an arm's length.
Yes.
And I guess he's still sitting in, you know, he's still sitting in no man's land in prison in England.
Yeah.
And then Italy piped up and said, well, we'll give him citizenship, which is quite incredible. So that's I suppose that's the next stage. But I get the feeling there might be a lot of stuff that WikiLeaks may have been sitting on that they actually didn't release after he was arrested.
Well, it would be interesting if they do start releasing it.
Well, I think they're not a choice in it, Henry. I think if they're going to keep jailing him or he's going to get a serious, you know, it's going to be a more serious sentence. I don't know how they can try him because he's not military in that sense. It befuddles me how they've, you know, like the damage is already done. The genie's already out of the bottle. What more can they do to him, really? I mean, you know, he's suffered for this. And I can't work out why the journalists aren't kicking up more about it.
Well, you see, this is a problem with journalism around the world. It's sort of pro-right wing. On that subject, and by the way, just, you know, if Julian Assange ended up in America, what would they do to him?
If he gets tried for treason, I guess the key gets thrown away.
Jesus, yeah. And he's in a bad state, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, it's bad, you know, like he probably doesn't really want to get transported back to the States, but what they could do is take him back, put him on public show, you know, would the American public find that he told them the truth about what their government and what their military were doing, and would there be enough people to stand up and say, this is wrong, you need to let this man go? I don't know, because it's so right-wing everywhere at the moment.
And meanwhile, we've got world leaders murdering people, murdering civilians.
You know, it's funny.
And they get away with it.
It's funny you say that, Paul, because that was my next subject. of course it was my next subject. The thing about it is, you know, Joe Biden is obviously, you know, a left-wing politician. He's the president of the United States for the Democratic Party, and he is supporting Israel beyond belief. And you know, I'm watching a lot of news, which is what I do, and it's very pro-Israel, apart from Al Jazeera, of course. And it's interesting that Joe Biden just jumped in there, went over, then Blink, whatever his name's, Anthony Blink, Blinken?
Yeah, Blinken.
I think he's, what is he, foreign? I don't know what he is. Anyway, he went over there and they're like pro-Israel and we're not hearing about the other side of the story apart from Al Jazeera, which is largely coming out of Doha, I think, and they're very into Palestine, that kind of stuff. I did, you know, I felt as a journalist that this was highly imbalanced media for a start, and secondly, highly imbalanced politics with what Joe was doing. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, look, it's tough because two wrongs don't make a right.
Yep.
There is nothing right about the situation.
And what they did was appalling.
You can't condone that, Henry, regardless of what side of the fence you're on. That was just wrong. But there's obviously a lot of other stuff underneath this that they've been going through. You know, they used to say, well, you know, the Palestinians have rocks, the Jews have guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, so if you, the imbalance is huge, but can you report both sides fairly? It depends on who's controlling your media interests and depends who's controlling the politicians and also the, you know, the other nation has been known for its COVID activities around the world for a really long time. And, you know, you have this terrible situation where nobody wants to face that, well, maybe we didn't do the right thing, maybe, you know, maybe there's a peaceful solution. Who does it benefit if we have peace, you know?
Yeah, I see. Yes, there's money in war. And talking of such things, Benjamin Netanyahu is a criminal.
Oh, absolutely.
An out-and-out criminal. And the thing about war is that it makes prime minister, he's the prime minister of Israel, and when war happens, these leaders become very popular. Do you remember Bush? George W. Bush became really popular after 9/11. Yeah. It's the same thing. And this Netanyahu guy is corrupt as all hell. And he's popular again in Israel because the Israelis are going, oh, well, he's going to get the Palestinians. He has said, oh, you got to get out of the Gaza Strip, go north, go south, and they can't get out. The Egyptians are trying to get food into the Gaza Strip and couldn't get it in. Mm-hmm. So you got all these guys stuck, these families stuck in the Gaza Strip.
It's terrifying. I mean, there can be no other word for it, to be caught in the middle of it and nowhere to go. And you can't get out, you can't get food, you can't get water.
What do they do with the waste?
There's no power.
It's like,
I can't imagine what it's like.
No. It'd be horrendous. Well, Ukraine's gone very quiet, hasn't it?
Yes, isn't it funny how the media works? All of a sudden there's nothing going on in Ukraine. Yeah, right.
it's sort of like, oh, and now we're going to have a story about the koalas or the wombats. You know, really?
And it's all one-sided.
You know, don't get me started on this. You know, when I was a newsreader for 10 years on radio in Britain and Ireland, and news was known as a loss leader, which means it didn't make any money for the radio station or the television station that I worked on. And the thing is, it's no longer a loss leader. It's a platform to sell products. So that's why you're getting all the, you know, saved a koala from the bush stories. news is no longer a loss leader. And that's the reason, guys. That's the reason you're hearing about all the fluffy animals.
Like the wild bulldozers. When we're talking about hunting plants, I think I'll have to hunt those wild bulldozers, Henry.
Yes, I agree totally.
To save those baby koalas from those wild bulldozers.
There's a great puff piece, as we call it in the news media.
You just got to laugh. I mean,
what else can you do? You could cry.
The thing is that it's kind of a waste of emotion either way, I think. But looking at it, we are blessed to be in Australia.
Yes, indeed.
But to start,
geographic still works, yes.
Yes, well, it does. But to start that, if you put Palestine's flag on the Sydney Opera House as well as the Israeli flag, it would be fair.
Yeah, we need to let our international audience know what's happened here. The Opera House gets beamed with various imagery. And in this case, it was a very pro-Israel. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the guys who are, mostly living in the suburbs of Sydney, Palestinians, immigrants, and they went and protested, but apparently it was peaceful. Or was it?
Well, they had a couple of moments that sort of were, you know, that were probably less than peaceful and probably less than...
cordial, not so
cordial. Less than cordial.
Yeah.
And it was all because it was so pro-Israel. I mean, look, my heart bleeds for the families that lost a music festival.
Indeed. Yes, of all things. I mean, really, yeah.
And a kibbutz. Mm-hmm. You know,
I lived on a kibbutz for a year.
Well, I wanted to, Henry. That was the thing I wanted to do in the 70s. I thought the kibbutz would be great because I would get to meet all these international people and language wasn't a barrier. We just live and work together and eat together and laugh.
That was fantastic. I was also working in another job there, but that was 1983. And at that time, you know, Israel had the problems with, can't think now. Up north, yeah, well, Lebanon, sorry. This is COVID kicking in. And that was a problem in the 80s, Lebanon. But now it's all Gaza. And I wonder, you know, where Iran fits into all this, because I think they were delighted that, you know, this attack on Israel delighted the Iranians because these guys did their dirty work. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think you've got a puppet master that's quite happy to, you know, machinate in the background. No different to probably what some of the major interests in Israel are doing too, because, you know, the president wants to stay president. And there are actually, I think there's a number of Israelis who are against the kill. They do not want to see Gaza wiped out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, saying he's immensely popular, I think people are starting to go, well, hey, you know, those two wrongs won't make a right.
Mm.
And if you, you know, once you start to do that, then you've got Lebanon, Syria sitting on the borders. The Egyptians are kind of caught in between. And Iran's rubbing its hands together because it's created total mayhem.
And they're like having chats with, you know, the Chinese and the Russians.
And Russians, yes.
And this is becoming very big in the region.
But I'm always interested in the why. You know, why did they do what they did then?
Why did they
fire on that music festival? And
yeah,
what would cause them to do what happened to lead up to that? You know, we don't get anything like that at all.
We all have questions about this. The thing is, you know, they just played into the Israelis' hands. They gave Netanyahu an excuse to pummel the place, as in the Gaza Strip. I mean, really, that's like almost like suicide for them. They did this dreadful atrocities. And the other question I have is, how come Israel didn't see this coming?
Yeah, well, they said that they, you know, that they got through all these places, yet they have all this security. So it makes me wonder,
what was he doing?
Was it the Palestinian? Was it?
Yeah.
Was it them that actually did the deed, you know, like everything else that happens that they say somebody did it, but actually it wasn't the person that did it.
You saying it's a black flag operation?
No. No, why would I say that?
Oh, not at all.
Are you suggesting
no.
that?
You know, it's like... And then the only news you get, is controlled by the people who are controlling everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The news is controlled, as you say, by right-wing interests globally, really. But in Australia, it's appalling. It really is, apart from the ABC, who I'm not overly happy with either, because they're the national broadcaster here, folks. They seem to be turning into feel like a commercial network watching them at the moment.
God. Yeah.
Anyway, look, we got to go soon. I just want to mention to our listeners that you have a new single, I Got Lost. What's that about, by the way?
It's taken
you got
a
lost,
train.
Clearly.
It's taken a train to nowhere.
Taken a train.
Okay.
Tasmania has no trains, no passenger trains, Henry.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yes. No. And so... this leads back into the light rail system that they're suggesting that we get if we build the stadium, which is, of course, hot doggity property.
Uh-huh.
And I really miss trains because trains were a major form of transport for me living in Melbourne or Sydney, or, you know, going to Japan or even in London with a tube.
Yes.
It was based on, at the time, it was people talking and then disappearing, and then words disappearing into air, thin air.
Yeah.
Things just disappear. So that was the underpinning idea of the song of, you know, I'm take a train, you know, and it's just, yeah. I can't remember what the word she said because I just disappeared into thin air. And then I got lost. Okay. And it's just sort of, I mean, I suppose it's a bit airy fairy. It doesn't really, it's not making a political statement. Sinners is probably my more our statement song than I Got Lost. I Got Lost is just a really nice little summer ditty for those that want to sort of go, I got lost. I got lost.
Do you guys do a lot of a lot of your songs are quite serious? Is it fair to say? Or?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm trying to hide them.
We need some real stuff going on in the music industry, not Kylie Minogue, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I try and keep, look, the thing is that I believe that if you know, the songs need to say something sometimes,
yes,
you
agree.
Know?
Yeah. Not la 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 la.
Yeah, well, you're going to hate I Got Lost because that's exactly what it is.
You gone commercial on me.
That is lightning. That really spells it out exactly. The words in that are, this is it.
Yeah, it's an anti-war song. I mean, we've probably only written one anti-war song between us, but it's pretty full on. And it's, I think you have to say something. Sinners for me is basically, it addresses everybody in the world. It's not addressing one race over another.
Or any politics on any particular side.
No, you know, it's just, blood of the night, blood of the day, won't wash it away.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to listen. I haven't listened to either of these.
You like Sinners. I'll send you Sinners.
That hasn't been released. But
we haven't released
really
it yet, but you.
Has an ISRC, so you get the pre-release version.
Yeah, you can have the pre-release. How's that?
Thank you, guys.
I'm really happy with it. I Got Lost is a really cool ditty. Yeah, we do write some serious songs, I guess. I try and keep them under the radar. I don't sort of advertise that I'm being a bit of a dissident.
from your dedicated duties of serious songwriting and singing, right? Is that it?
We are the sign, yes. We have to bring some news sometimes.
Yes, indeed you do. And thank you for bringing us all your news today. Paul and Joe, thank you for joining me here on Bondi Tunes International.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Henry.
And I just want to mention, you can go to thesign.com, thesign.com, and there are links to all other platforms from that website. That is Paul and Joe Folta from the band The Sign. And this we go out with is I Got Lost.
Insanity.